Good morning. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Before we get into the message, I heard that the singles had a tremendous time last night. That's awesome. The sisters encouraged the brothers. And I gather that you brothers were encouraged. Amen. I'm glad you guys had a wonderful time. Next Sunday, all the marrieds are looking forward to our marriage retreat. You know, it's always good to just get away and retreat. That's what the word means. You get away. And we're looking forward to it. It's going to be at Callaway Gardens. And as a result, all of us that are going to be left behind, there's going to be service right here. Okay, you don't get the Sunday off. We're going to have service over there. But those of you who are in town, please be here. We're going to have service from 10 to 11 o'clock in the morning. Amen? And a young man from campus, John Gerard, is going to be preaching the word. You guys are going to have a wonderful time. Again, I think we need to put our hands together and tell Stu Galbraith what a great job he did this morning with the lesson. You know, if we repent as men and become everything that Steve was talking about this morning, let me tell you something. This country will be different. This world will be different. It's for us as men to repent. So, you know, you already heard the message. If you didn't hear it, you need to go listen to it. And I hope and pray that in the next several days, husbands, you're going to sit down with your wives and say, honey, sugar, pumpkin, whatever it is you guys call yourself, disciple me. Let me have it. Tell me what I need to hear. Tell me the areas in my life as a man that I need to change. Amen? I'm going to do it. We all need to do it. And be the men that God has called us to be. Amen? Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. Amen? Amen. Right here in Galatians chapter 5, beginning verse 22. It starts talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In verses 19 to 21, it just finished talking about the acts of the sinful nature. And Paul basically goes through this list of sins and says, you know what, sin is very obvious. And at the end of it, it goes, and the like. In other words, anything that even looks like this. And it says, I warn you, as I did before, that those people who live like this cannot go to heaven. Bottom line. And then in contrast, he says, you know what? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says, against such things, there is no law. If we have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit will produce this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience. Some Bible versions say forbearance, long-suffering. Still the same thing. Nine attributes of the Holy Spirit. They're visible attributes of the Christian life. In other words, when you and I repented and got baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, according to Acts 2:38, our sins were forgiven, and God deposited His Holy Spirit inside of us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead started residing inside of us. And these are the things that the Holy Spirit that now dwells inside of us wants to produce and should be producing. But the Bible also talks about how if we are not careful, we will quench the Holy Spirit. And so the question I want to ask you this morning as we look at this, and this is going to be our text. I'm not going anywhere else. I will mention other scriptures, but we're going to stay here. Are you with me? In Galatians chapter 5. Is God producing these different attributes in your life? Are you and I growing in them? Is it visible to people around us? We're talking about God's divine personality and character traits. Bishop referred to it this morning. In Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let us create man in our image." All these attributes, the 9 of them, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, this is God's personality. This is God's part of God's character. Are you with me? Dogs and cats and monkeys were not created in the image of God. I got news for you. That's why a dog cannot be your best friend. Are you listening to me? But see, you say, Richard, I disagree. Dogs can love. Yes, they can. But not like humans. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. You don't see those qualities in a cat. I'm sorry. They're just pets. Amen? You and I were the ones that were created in the image of God. And so I've titled this morning's message, "We Have God's DNA." We have God's DNA inside of us. You know how, again, you look at your kids, for those of us that have kids, and you know, I don't know, what is it about babies and kids when they're small and they're little, they make you, you know, look funny and look silly? You know, because every time you see a baby or you hold a baby, you go, "Ooh, could you, how you doing?" You see adults, we start making faces. There's just something about it, but it's amazing. If you take a picture of that little kid, and you go take a picture of yourself at that age, and you put them side by side, you're going to say, "Wait a second, that was me. This kid looks like me." Why? Because they got your DNA. It's not an accident. If you will notice, some of you, the way you walk is the way your father walks, or your mom. You know, you're not walking like this. Because your father never walked like that. You know, you walk with a swag. That's because you got your father's DNA or your mom's DNA. Some of this is not rocket science. But you see, as Christians, we have God's DNA. And that should be exciting to you. Now let's talk about them very quickly. Again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The first three, believe it or not, are graces that turn our thoughts towards God. Love, joy, and peace. Okay? The first three turn our thoughts towards God. The next three, patience, kindness, and goodness, we're talking about graces that we have towards other people. God first, other people. Are you with me so far? And then the last three, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're talking about attributes that talk about our growth within us as individuals. You see the order? And you see that order in the Bible all every time. God first, or the second, you and I last. That is why the first commandment about being a disciple is about you got to deny yourself. Again, Steve referred to the passage in Deuteronomy 6 this morning where it says, love God with all your heart and soul and all that stuff. God first. That's the order. That's always been the order. When we mess up that order is when we get in trouble. Okay? And so, very quickly, I'm going to run through these. But again, I hope and pray that you're going to go home get your concordance out, and do some serious Bible study. Remember the first three talk about you and I getting closer to God. The next three talk about how we treat other people. And then the last three is about us. Areas that we need to grow in. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen? Are you with me? Love. Okay, I put the Greek in the, for those of you who like this kind of stuff, in bracket. Okay? So what is that? You're going to see all that throughout. That's the Greek word. Love, agape. Okay? We're talking about unconditional love. That is the love that God has for us and for all of mankind. A love that does not treat us like we deserve. Is the love that is described in 1 Corinthians 13. We're talking about love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not rude. It keeps no record of wrong. Love always trusts. Love always perseveres. That's the kind of love he's talking about, agape. That is the kind of love God wants to produce in us. So that you and I can be like God. Are you with me? You know, it's been very interesting. You know, what do you call it? I know we're all looking forward to this marriage retreat next week. We asked all the marrieds to send in a recent picture of themselves. That we're going to have a slideshow at the end next week. And it was very interesting. Jerome Tench sent in their picture, he and his wife, Andrea. And he goes, man, by the grace of God, this woman has put up with me for 20 years. He put that in there. And I just smiled when I saw it. You know, this kind of unconditional love that husbands have for their wives and vice versa. Are you with me? Whether you believe it or not, this is the reason why we are still married. The world does not understand this concept. That's why when things get hard, they go, you know what? You go your way, let me go mine. It is a love that doesn't keep a record of wrong. It is a love that is unconditional. Yeah. Are you with me? Because that's the way God treats us. Okay, 2 John 2 also talks about it. It says, it's the kind of love that walks in obedience to God. Remember, it was Jesus that said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. So we're talking about a love that obeys God. You can't tell me you love God and you're not obeying the scriptures. There's something wrong there. If we claim we love God, we got to be obeying everything the Bible teaches, not what we choose and please. Are you with me? Okay? But that's agape. Joy. Kara. Okay? Nehemiah 8:10, where Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We're talking about a joy that comes from the inside, not from what's going on around you. That yes, even if you lose your job or you're looking for a job, even if your house were to burn down, we're talking about an attribute that physical circumstances cannot get to. Are you with me? Happiness is defined basically by your circumstances around you. When things are great, obviously you're happy. Joy is not dependent on the surrounding circumstances. And that's why James was able to say, you know what, consider it pure joy even when you're suffering and going through trials of many kinds because your faith is being tested. Are you with me? So we're talking about an attribute not dependent on outward circumstances. It comes as a result of being aware of God's grace. That, yeah, you may have trouble at night, but joy cometh in the morning. It's that kind of a mindset. Are you with me? But this is what the Holy Spirit produces. You can't go buy this at Publix or Kroger. I'm sorry. You're not going to find love and joy and all these things out there. It is something that the Spirit of God inside of us produces. That's what the Spirit wants to produce if we would allow it. Amen? We're going to keep going through this. Peace. Irene. Peace, obviously, is the opposite of chaos. It comes from seeking after God. We're talking about a peace that transcends all understanding. When Isaiah was making a prediction about Jesus, he called him the Prince of Peace. 750 years before he was born. We're talking about having a wholeness and complete order in life as a result of God's presence. Are you at peace? Do you realize God doesn't get fed, flustered? Can you show me the passage that talks about how God is worried or anxious about anything? God is a cool cucumber, so to speak. He's as cool as they come. But you see, God also wants to produce that in you. That kind of a peace that transcends all understanding. That only the Holy Spirit can give to you. Regardless of what is going on or not going on around you. Are you with me? Okay? So you see, love, joy, peace. Again, we are talking about attributes that affect our relationship with God. That's what the Spirit wants to do first. Because if we get the first three right, I promise you, the other six will follow. Amen? Amen. Patience. Macrothumia. We're talking long-suffering or endurance. Opposite of being short-tempered. God is long-suffering. That's why he hasn't wiped us all out. He's a very patient God. The Bible says he wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's why he doesn't reward us like our sins deserve. He's a very patient God. He's long-suffering. And God wants us to be that way. Now we're talking about, again, graces that affect other people now. We're talking about having the ability not to retaliate or punish immediately. You know how it is when somebody does something to you? What's the natural instinct? You want to react. But you see, the Bible says do not repay evil for evil. That guy cuts you off in traffic. You want to say something. And somebody has said something in the process. But you know, the Bible says, God says, vengeance is mine. Nobody's going to get away with anything. And I think that should be our comfort. Because sometimes we think, oh yeah, this person did this, and who's going to, he needs to pay for that. God saw that. That's been recorded up in heaven. You don't worry. I shouldn't worry. God will take care of that thing. Are you with me? But that's what we're talking about when it comes to patience. We must be patient with people that wrong us if you and I want to be like God. Amen? Amen. I gotta admit, this is the one that I struggle with. I am not a very patient person. Okay? There are a lot of things you can do to me. You know, you can take all my worldly possessions, that's not gonna bother me. But keep me waiting for 5 minutes, my blood pressure's gone up. I am not a patient person. It needs to be my DNA, though. I'm working on it. Have you noticed in this church, we've never started church at 10:01? Why do you think that is? Because the guy who's controlling the show, 10:01, 10:02, he's been late. And I am not going to be late. You can talk to some of these song leaders. Sometimes I'll be in the back and, you know, they haven't started and I'm in the back going, let's go. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, okay, we now become sloppy because we're trying to be patient. We shouldn't be keeping the time. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just confessing my own sin in terms of, you know what? I need to learn patience. Amen? Amen. But you see, we got to be patient with other people because God has been patient with us. That's the thing I'm learning on a daily basis. Now, you know what? If God were to treat me and give me what I deserve every moment, I would not be standing. And so this person has kept me waiting for 10 minutes. Okay, fine. There is grace. And if they come in and say, man, I'm really sorry for keeping you waiting, let it end there. And not stew on it. Amen? Amen. Very, very important. We got to be patient with other people as we deal with them. Kindness. Krestotes. It is actually used of God in the Old Testament more than anyone else. It should characterize our treatment of others in words, action, and in thought. We're talking about having the ability to make people feel at ease around you. You're just a very kind person. One of the kindest men I know in this church is Carl Lynn. He's such a kind man. I want to imitate that in him. I mean, Carl will do stuff. I mean, you just stand in his speech like, what is he doing? Why are you doing? Why are you going through all this stuff? Because he's a kind person. Deb Shanks is the same way. There are many others. I'm just giving those two as examples. We need to be kind people. I think so many times we're thinking, this is mine, and I don't have a lot. Let me tell you something. The more you give away, the more God gives to you. Stop counting your pennies. Give it away. You know, it's amazing to me when you read passages that talk about, for instance, the rich young ruler, when that guy who came to Jesus and said, hey, what do I still lack? And God says, you lack one thing. And here we have a list of nine. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you. I got several areas on this list that I need to grow in. And Jesus told that man, one thing you lack, go sell and give everything you have to the poor and then come follow me. And he wouldn't do it. Of all this list, what would Jesus say we lack? This was what the rich young ruler lacked. It was kindness towards others. That's why I wouldn't give all his money away. Are you with me? But we got to be kind people. The Holy Spirit wants to produce that in us. Goodness. Agathosune. We're talking about being benevolent. Doing active good. But again, we're not talking about doing good so that others can see you. If anything, God tells us to do stuff in secret. And the God who sees what you do in secret will reward you. That's what it talks about in the Sermon on the Mount. But God calls us to be good to other people. When somebody comes, the Bible says, again, we don't talk about this a lot, but it's in the scriptures. If somebody wants, it says, do not give to those who want to borrow from you. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying people should be living irresponsible financial lives and then going around and borrowing money. That's not what I'm saying. And I've never advocated that. But if somebody's in a bind and they come and say, please, can you borrow me, $100 or whatever it is? And the Bible says if you have the ability to do it, you should do it. 9 times out of 10, I want to give them a lecture first. Well, let's talk about your budget. And boom, 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 boom. Remember, they're already feeling guilty. Now, again, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about just going around and, like Bishop talked about this morning, if you don't walk, the Bible says you shouldn't eat. We're not talking about living on the generosity of others. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about being benevolent. So somebody has a need and you see that need, even before they ask you. That's the reason why God gave you the money. Amen? Are you a generous person? Are you good? Gary and Christy Robeson, I'm embarrassing them, are two of the most people filled with goodness that I know of. That's just who they are. Now, don't go to them and say, could you lend me some money? Don't you dare. I will tell you exactly what Gary's going to say to you. But see, we got to be filled with it. Barnabas and Dorcas in Acts were great examples of Christians who were good. Amen? And I'm not saying they are not others. I'm just pointing people out. Are you with me? We're talking about an encourager of other people. That you come to church, you're just going to, okay, service hasn't started here, let me just sit here. You better be sitting there because you're not feeling too good. But you're up. You're encouraging other people. Let me talk to somebody. Who can I say hello to? Who can I brighten up their day? We're talking about being a giver and not just a taker. Amen? Scripture commands us to be good to others. There's so many scriptures that talk about it. So many. They're very convicting too. Amen? Faithfulness, pistis. Someone who is steadfast and can be relied on. Now we're talking about the last three attributes that pertain to you and me. Again, areas that we need to grow in. As a matter of fact, it is very essential if we are to receive the crown of life that it talks about in Revelation chapter 2. Where we're steadfast. God never promised that a Christian life would be easy. Oh, it's going to be hard. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Okay? So if you think, oh, Christianity, oh, man, let me go serve this guy because it's going to be easy. Oh, no. You are in the wrong place. But God will bring you through everything that you're going through if you will be faithful and steadfast. It's not going to be easy. I was sharing with us a few weeks ago for us to be praying for Sarah Pikert. She leads the woman in Greensboro, North Carolina. She was just diagnosed with breast cancer. And I was talking to her husband this week, Dave, and I was just asking how she's doing, what's going on, when she could be going for the procedure and everything. You know, she has her good days and her bad days. She's human. Yeah, she's a very faithful disciple, but it's hard. I can't imagine what that feels like. In terms of, you know, the doctor sitting down and saying, you got cancer. I can't imagine what that feels like. Several weeks ago when they called me up and told me, you know, they found something in my MRI and I got something up there and I need to go see a neurosurgeon, I'm telling you, I was a wreck for 24 hours. Yeah, I was talking to people, but I was a wreck. It's not that I'm afraid of dying. Because here I am, in my entire life, I've never been sick. What is that? You found something up there? What are you talking about? But God expects us to be steadfast. God expects us to be faithful. And Dave was telling me, you know, they went to see the doctor again, I think it was this past week, and, you know, just trying to get her medical history and all that kind of stuff. And the doctor said, boy, and listening to you guys and your life, you guys have traveled a lot. Obviously, they've been in ministry for a long time. And he says, man, you're either in the military or you're in the ministry. Which one is it? And he said, we're ministers. And she goes, you know, I got to say something to you. There's just something about you that it just, I could see it. Where's your church? When can I come? The doctor was inviting herself. Because she just saw a peace there, a steadfastness there. But that's not something that she came up with. That's the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? There are people that get that kind of news. You know, they fall apart. Faithfulness. We're talking about growing in faith despite life's challenges. Gentleness. Prautes. This is having an attitude of meekness and humility. Moses was meek. The Bible says he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Numbers 12, verse 3. As a matter of fact, the Bible commands us to give an answer who asks about the hope that we profess with meekness. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Steve Cutler referred to this the other day. We need to do it with meekness. We need to do it with gentleness. We need to do it with humility. Again, I got to grow in this area as a minister. Because there are times, okay, I want to say something, and I just want people to get it right away. And I've learned from doing this for almost 25 years, you know, you say something the first time, it goes in one ear, it comes out the next. Okay, that's the truth. You bring it up a second time, and people go, okay, I heard you. You bring it up the third time. Yeah, I think you have a point. You bring it up the fourth time. Yeah, I really need to really consider this in my life. You bring it up the fifth time. Then they are really thinking about repenting. That's just human nature. That's why the charge about being an evangelist is to, yeah, preach the word, correct, rebuke, and all this stuff. And it says with great patience and careful instruction. That's the part I struggle with. Because I want people just to get it. Jump means jump. It's like that billboard on 316, they've removed it now. Years ago, that says, which part of thou shalt not do you not understand? God. Amen? But we're very stubborn people. And so even as we deal with each other and as we try and help each other become more like Jesus, there's got to be a gentleness there. Are you with me? You know, again, I'm very thankful for our elders, especially Steve Collier. You know, we've been talking about, again, within all the Atlanta churches, hey, let's sit down, let's talk about our differences. Let's start resolving our issues. That's why we invited Steve Staden from Chicago to come in and help us out. And I was talking to another brother, and he goes, we're moving too fast. I have to be honest with you guys, I lost it. I said, excuse me? Isn't 9 years long enough? What do you mean we're moving too fast? I got upset. I needed to be gentle. Because for me, 9 years is long enough. Amen? But the Holy Spirit wants to produce gentleness in us. Okay, so I'm not saying all this stuff because I have it all down. Believe me, I don't. But they're all areas in which we all need to grow in. Amen? Self-control. That's the last one. Egrate. One who is able to hold himself in. One who has mastered his desires and passions, especially sensual appetites. We're talking about overcoming the works of the flesh. Controlling yourself. You can control your thoughts, your actions, your words, and your deeds. You and I can. Amen? Very, very important. Self-control is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In conclusion, I believe this is what our daily prayers should be about going forward. We need to pray, Lord, help me to be like you. I want to love like you. I want to be joyful like you. I want to have peace like you. You know, I believe it's 1 John 5:14 that talks about if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I promise you, God will answer and give you all these 9 qualities and allow you and I to continue to grow in them if we start praying this. Amen? Remember, the first 3 talk about our relationship with God. Then the next 3, we need to pray, Lord, help me to love other people. Father, give me patience. Father, help me to be kind. Father, help me to be good in word, deed, and thought. Again, I encourage you to start praying like this. And you watch what happens in your life. Amen? It's just the 9 whatever. It's just the 3. That's all I've done is, you know, I just put words next to it. That's all. It's not rocket science. I see some of you trying to write all this stuff down very feverishly. Patience, kindness, goodness. That's all. And then finally, Lord, transform me from the inside out. Help me to be steadfast to the end. Help me to grow in gentleness. Give me self-control daily. The Spirit of God will answer very quickly. Amen? It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be smooth. It's going to be challenging. But God will answer you. Okay? Brothers and sisters, this is what God wants to produce in us. This is what we need to be praying about. John the Baptist, when he was talking to the people that are coming to him to be baptized, he says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Amen? The Spirit of God inside of us wants to produce these things. I pray that every single one of us will continue to grow in these areas on a daily basis. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are an amazing God, and we love you very much. We thank you so much, Father, that you gave the words to Richard today to help us and challenge us to grow in the Spirit. Father, help us to grow in these attributes. God, it's very convicting and very challenging to see all the areas that you call us to change. Father, we know, though it's challenging, that you will give us your strength through your Spirit, and that you will have people in our lives, our wives, our disciple partners, and you yourself to help us. Father, help us this week to be thinking about these things, God. Help it not to be a sermon that just falls on the floor as we leave. Help it to be something that we're consciously thinking about and intentionally changing. Father, be with us for this week and for all of our lives. Help us, help those who are visiting to find out more about you, God. I pray that there are many people that decide to study the Bible because of the things they heard this morning. We love you. We thank you so much for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you that are doing ushering, there'll be a quick meeting. There'll be a meeting, I don't know how quick, in the band room. And for everybody else, you're dismissed.